أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم، ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، أولئك هم الراشدون. فضلا من الله ونعمة، والله عليم حكيم. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، this is verse number 7 and verse number 8 of Surah Al-Hujurat. For yesterday's discussion, we discussed that Harith ibn Abi Zirar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came to Madinatul Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited him to Islam. He goes back to his nation as a leader of the nation, very influential. He invites his people to a fold of Islam. They accepted Islam and they also dispensed and gave some zakat. Harith radiallahu ta'ala made arrangement with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to send a sahabi to the tribe of Banu Mustaliq to meet up with Harith radiallahu ta'ala anhu to hand over the zakat to give to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned from there with a suspicion in his mind that Harith ibn Abi Zirar and his people are planning to kill and assassinate him. He comes and tells this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very cautious and appointed Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu ta'ala to investigate the matter. But on the other side, Sahaba heard about this, that Harith ibn Abi Zirar and his people planned and plotted to kill Walid ibn Uqba radiallahu ta'ala. And according to their understanding, the tribe of Banu Mustaliq had come out from the fold of Islam. So they told to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we should wage war and jihad against the tribe of Banu Mustaliq. Now imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have listened to them, and if Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do what he said was true, correct and appropriate, then that would have been very dangerous with far-reaching consequences. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not listen to the Sahaba. Sahaba were angry, and their anger was motivated for the love for deen and iman. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to do what was correct and what was arising. He acted very cautiously, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is investigated the matter. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this verse states that verily among you is the Rasul of Allah. That is a great ni'mat, that is a great bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So whilst the Nabi of Allah is among you, appreciate his presence and obey him. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ. If the Rasul of Allah would obey you in many issues, لَعَنِتُمْ, that you would have experienced difficulty and you would have experienced hardship. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. But Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has made Iman beloved to you, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has purified Iman in your hearts. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has created resentment of kufr in your hearts. He created resentment of fusq, major sins, and He created resentment of minor sins in your heart. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Those people who have left for Iman in their hearts are verified with Deen and Iman, they resent kufr, sins, and every disobedience of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, those people are guided. And such an attitude, فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً, it is a virtue from the side of Allah, and it is a ni'mat from the side of Allah. Wallahu alimun hakeem. And Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is all-knowing, and Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is hakeem and full of hikmat and wisdom. It was in response to the attitude of the Sahaba that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala revealed this verse. They don't expect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to do what you all wish to do. He the Rasul of Allah, he the recipient of divine wahiyah revelation, he has that kind of wisdom and understanding that you do not have. So just that he is with you all, it doesn't mean that when you present an opinion to him, then he must carry out what you all feel should happen. Let the Rasul of Allah decide whatever he thinks is correct or whatever he thinks it is appropriate. A similar incident happened during Sulh Hudaybiyah. In the 6th year after Hijrat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba saw a dream. That they are making tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif, they are in a state of Ihram. They proceed to Makkah Mukarrama, they come to Hudaybiyah, and the disbelievers, they stop Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba proceeding to Makkah Mukarrama. Negotiations ensued between Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba and the disbelievers of Makkah Mukarrama. Finally it was decided that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Sahaba should not make tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif this year. They must go away and return next year, only for 3 days. Decision was already made. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba still in Hudaybiyah. And the Sahaba extremely angry, extremely upset. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's order is to move to Madinah Munawwara. But the Sahaba, out of their deep, sincere, honest, true feeling for Deen and Islam, they came up to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the real Prophet of Allah, are we not on haqq? Are we not on truth? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, most definitely. Then they told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in the time of Jahiliyyah, when we were in falsehood, nobody would be able to make us go against our wishes and our desires. We would do whatever we think is appropriate. Yet we were in falsehood, we were in batil. Now that we are in haqq, why should we bend over? Why should we submit and surrender? Let us do what we feel is appropriate. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam keeps quiet. Finally, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mashwara with Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala. She tells to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you remove your hair, Sahaba will have no option, they also have to remove their hair, they will have to submit to your opinion and they will have to proceed to Madinatul Munawwara. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did just that, and all the Sahaba also removed their hair and they proceeded to Madinatul Munawwara. But very angry, very upset. They felt defeated. They felt humiliated. They felt that they left Madinah Munawwara with a passion of making tawaf of the Baytullah Sharif. And why is it they cannot do that? So, as they were proceeding to Madinah to Munawwara, Umar radiallahu ta'ala was behind, still very angry, still very upset. Suddenly, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called for him, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these verses, Inna fatahna laka fathan mubina. But verily, we have given you an open victory. Now, apparently they are returning to Madinah Munawwarah defeated. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is saying, that's your defeat, that is a victory. Now, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have submitted to what Umar radiallahu ta'ala wanted, what the Sahaba wanted, then it would have been very difficult. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what he felt was correct and what was appropriate. Now look at the wisdom that was hidden behind this. Till Sulah Hudaybiyah, roughly there are about 3,000 to 4,000 to 5,000 people that have accepted Islam. 19 years of Nubuwwat have passed by. 10 years in Makkah Mukarramah, or 13 years in Makkah Mukarramah, and 6 years here in Madinah Munawwarah. And these are approximately 4,000 to 5,000 people that have accepted Islam. 19 years of Nubuwwat have passed by. And Islam, and the word of Islam, has to spread in every corner of the world. After Sulh Hudaybiyah, when the peace treaty was drawn, they opened up the road for many people who were afraid to come to Madinah Munawwarah now to be able to come to Madinah to Munawwarah. Now 2 years down the line, during the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceed to Makkah Mukarramah now with approximately 10,000 Sahaba. In the period of 2 years, from approximately 3,500 to 4,000 Sahaba, there was a drastic increase. 6,000 people entered in the fold of Islam. And soon thereafter, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed his Hajj, more than 100,000 Sahaba in the plains of Arafat. What Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not achieve within 19 years of Nubuwwat, within a short period of 3 to 4 years, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have achieved that more than 100,000 people came to the fold of Islam after that. This was the hikmat, the wisdom, and the diplomacy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outwardly it was a defeat, but in reality it was a victory. Now had Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listened to the Sahaba, then obviously that would not have been achieved. Often it happens that beyond the surface knowledge of anything that we have, it could be in our own personal life, decision, whatever it may be, we have a certain information. But beyond the surface information, there's lots and lots of greater information and greater wisdom hidden beyond that. And that can be illustrated with the instance of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khizr alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is also a Nabi of Allah. He had hikmat, he had wisdom. He is a recipient of wahi and revelation. But he came to a certain point, he could see to a certain point. But beyond a certain point, he could not see Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam could see. He damages the boat, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam damages the boat. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, being a Nabi of Allah, had the right to object, and he objected. That is the way his nazar could go. But there was something beyond that, which Musa alayhi salatu wasalam didn't know, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gave the knowledge of that to Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam. That on the other side there was a tyrant ruler who was taking away the boats of people. Or the second incident, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, he gets a young boy and twists the neck of the boy and kills the boy. So obviously anybody will object. The Nabi of Allah Musa alayhi salatu wasalam had to object. But there was one wisdom beyond what Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could see, that Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam could see. The wall was falling. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was very angry with the people there, that they were not hospitable. But Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam, out of his generosity, he's taken up the wall. There was something that Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam could not see, that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, something that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam could not see, Khidr alayhi salatu wasalam saw. So from this we understand, from the incident of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Khidr alayhi salam, that sometimes our sight goes to a certain point, we cannot go beyond that point, we cannot see. But there are certain people in our own lives, our elders, our seniors, they can see certain things that we probably cannot see. And that is why it's very, very important that don't expect the elders and the seniors to toe your line. We must toe the line of our elders and seniors. Whatever they tell us, we must go by what they say us. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُمْ. If our elders and seniors, they are to toe our line, then we will put ourselves in difficulty and they will not be doing what they were supposed to do. Elders and seniors, Allah has given the ikhbar and wisdom for a certain reason to guide us. They got the white beard, they got the white hair, these are strands of life that they have earned through the experience of life. So understand and believe in the ikhbar, believe in the diplomacy and submit to them. There is some wisdom and some benefit hidden for us in following them. That we could apply it in every aspect, even the field of suluk and tasawuf. See the famous statement that umhu lawhak wa ta'al, umhu lawhak wa ta'al, delete your slate, your heart, you delete it now, you forget about your wishes, you forget about your aspirations, you delete all that now, come with a clean slate to your sheikh, and you hand yourself over to your sheikh. Whatever your sheikh wants you to do, whatever he designed for you, whatever he wants to cultivate in your heart, whatever seed he wants to plant in your heart, you hand your garden over to him. And let him now grow his garden in your heart. Then only that garden will grow, otherwise it's never going to grow. There was a junior professor, he went to a senior professor to get some counsel. So, senior professor, obviously with the wisdom that he had, he first hosted the junior professor with tea. So he now started taking out the tea for the junior professor. He's pouring the tea, but it already filled the cup right, the tumbler right to the top. And then he's still pouring. And the tea is now flowing over on the saucer and messing out the area around. The junior professor thought to himself, but what kind of senior professor he is, I came to him to get advice and counsel, meanwhile, he can't even pour a cup of tea properly. Messing up the saucer, he's messing up the area around. So he was constrained to even tell the senior professor that, sir, enough. So the senior asked him, why enough? Senior is full already. It's full and there's no place anymore. So the senior asked the junior, so what does it matter? Senior is messing up everything and it's already full, he can't take anymore. It's already full. So the senior counsel then told the junior counsel, you see, likewise, if your mind and your heart is already full, what advice will my counsel be to you? When the cup can't take any more and everything is flowing over, so if I'm going to give you any advice and your heart and mind is full, it's also going to flow over. So we also, as young people, we need to also understand, keep our heart empty, keep our mind empty, and let elders cultivate whatever they want into our heart. That is what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran al-Kareem, that وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, that know well that verily among you is the Rasul of Allah. Appreciate His presence among you. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ, but if He had to obey you in many issues, then you would be putting yourself into difficulty and hardship. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَدَّدَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has made iman beloved to you, and Allah has verified iman in your heart, and Allah has created kufr, major sins, minor sins, resented all that in your heart. And those people who love iman, iman is verified the heart, they resent kufr, major sins, disobedience, then they are the guided people. It is also mentioned in some of the du'as, most of the kitabs, Allahumma habbib ilayna al-iman wa zayyinhu fi qulubina وَكَرِّ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِسْيَانِ. It is basically a translation or an expression of exactly what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us here. فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. This Allah has cultivated your iman, your heart with iman, verified it. This is a further grace on the side of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, ni'mat and bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-alim, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is al-hakim. In this verse, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Now what is the physical presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was alive in this world? And then it is told to a Sahaba that the Nabi of Allah is alive among you, appreciate his presence. Do whatever he has to tell you. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the world, but he's still alive in his qabr. But although Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the world, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not physically here, but the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still physically, is still among us. And this time, Sahaba to obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lifetime of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we still have to obey Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and carry out the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is not that this verse is only relating to the life of the time of the Sahaba, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Even after the demise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still among us through the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have to ensure that we adopt and follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our life. There's so much of emphasis in following the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is mentioned in a hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون علاه تبعا لما جئت به. You can never be a perfect mu'min until you don't subordinate your passion, your desire to what I have brought to you. Complete surrender to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْنِ لَن تَدِلُّ مَا تَبَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةُ رَسُولِهِ. I leave two things among you, and if you hold firm to these two things, you will never go astray. One is the Kitab of Allah, the Quran Kareem, and my Sunnah. In one hadith, it is understood that three people came to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and they told to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, tell us, what is the practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What do we do at home? So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha explained to them the procedure of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house. So they talk to themselves that he is the Rasul of Allah, his position is so high and lofty, so whatever ibadah he do, that is sufficient for him. We need the Nabi of Allah, we need to exert ourselves both as the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does. So one decided that he is going to keep fast all the way through. He is never going to feast, he is never going to eat. The other one decided in his life he is going to make ibadah the whole night. Whatever ibadah Nabi says, make it, that is sufficient for him. The other one felt, they felt that I will remain as a bachelor, I will never ever get married. Nabi Kareem Sahib heard about this. Nabi Sahib mentioned, but very upset. He says that I am the one that got the most amount of fear for Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. But I eat and I don't eat. I sleep and I don't sleep. And I also marry. فَمَا رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّةِ فَلِيسَ مِنِّي. That person who turns away from a sunnah, that person not from among me. So following the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is where our success lies. In one hadith we understand, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sleeping, he saw a dream. And in the dream there were two angels. One by the head side, one by the feet side. So the angel by the head side told to angel at the feet side, Idribulahu matala. Give an example of him referring to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the other angel said, we can't give any example, because the purpose of the example is to honor Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's sleeping. So other angel said, yes, that he's sleeping, but his eyes are sleeping, his heart is awake. That's a speciality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he sleeps, then his eyes are sleeping, his heart is awake, and that's why in the dream of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gets wahi and revelation. Then the example went on. So there is a king, he built a palace, and he wishes to invite people in his palace to partake of some meals and all the bounties of the palace. So he told one person to go out, invite the people to come in the palace and partake of the bounties in the palace. Those people have accepted the invite, they came in the palace, they enjoyed themselves in the palace. And those people who did not accept the invite, they didn't come in the palace, they were deprived of all the bounties in the palace. So The other angel then said, elaborate on this. What do you mean by this? The king is Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. The palace that is created by Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is Jannat and Paradise. And the inviter is Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem says, and goes out to the people and tell the people that enter into Islam, enter into Jannat and benefit from the bounty of Allah. Those accepted, benefited. Those didn't accept, they did not benefit. This shows that how important it is to follow Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did. Generally, as I mentioned in this ayat here, that we must simply obey, we must simply submit. Whether we understand the wisdom of it or we don't understand the wisdom of it, all we need to inculcate within ourselves, the most definitely there is some khair and barakah in it. In following our elders and seniors, the same also is the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We simply follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam because it is the order of Allah, it is the order of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But apart from that, whether we understand the wisdom of it or not is a different issue. But most definitely have yaqeen and conviction that there is wisdom behind it. There is a lot of benefit in it. And we don't follow that, we put our own self into difficulty and hardship. I'll give you a few examples, these are very few examples of some sunnahs. Fasting, apart from the month of Ramadan, Nabi Kareem says used to fast on Mondays, Thursdays. Ayyam e Veel, 13, 14, 15 of every month, of the lunar month. Now, in the great sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those of us have the courage to practice on sunnah, we practice on the sunnah. And those who don't practice on this, they know guna on it, but definitely if you practice on it, you get the sawab, that's to where our thinking will go. But from the scientific point of view, from the medical point of view, there's also so much of wisdom there and benefit hidden in that. Recently, scientists have discovered that in the body, when a person eats, there's a certain fluid that carries certain germs and it travels all around the body, it travels in the brain, it travels everywhere in the body. And it's a carrier, it's a vehicle of these germs. And until that fluid is not dried up, the germs will also not disappear. So, medically, recently they have concluded and they have decided that the only way to get rid of the fluid is by going on a diet and fasting. Now, we simply fast Monday, Thursday, Ayyam e Veel, and look at the wisdom behind it, which recently scientists have discovered that fluid that is there, it dries up and then it avoids the germs traveling in different parts of the body. Likewise, it's also discovered that a youth, when they grow up, there's a passion in a person because of the biological change in his body. And that is because of the fluid that is in his body. Again, Nabi Sasa mentioned, Ya Ba'ashara Shabab, Man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, fa innahu aghadda lil-basar wa ahsanu lil-faraj, wa man lam yastati' fa 'alayhi bis-sawm fa innahu lahu wija. That Nabi Sasa told the youth, growing up, you've got a passion, you've got a desire, but what is it that causing the passion and desire? It is a certain fluid that's in your body. Now, you want the fluid to dry up, obviously there won't be fulfillment in fasting, but there's the suppression of your passion and desire through fasting. You see, we follow the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to plead Allah and His Rasul, but look at the wisdom behind it. Miswak, so much of wisdom in the miswak. As-siwak matharatul lil-fam wa marzatul lil-rab. You make miswak, Allah gets happy, your mouth is clean. You make miswak, the reward of the salat will multiply 70 times. Layla an ashukta la ummati la amartu bi siwak inda kulli salah. Nabi Sallallahu mentioned, had I not feared difficulty upon the ummah, I would have made it compulsory to make miswak at the time of every salah. Now we simply make miswak as a sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it is also to the habit of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he was asked, when he comes in the house, what is the first thing he should do? Yesterday in the Talim he did this. So they told the first thing he should do, or in the night when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to wake up, he used to make miswak. First thing, the moment before making wudu, he used to make miswak after sleeping. Now, medical research recently proved that when a person talks, and there are certain germs in the mouth, through talking they escape from the mouth. But when you are sleeping, your mouth is closed, the germs remain inside. Now when you wake up, now immediately, obviously, when you start talking, but while the germs are already inside, they probably now, if you don't remove it, is going to not have an effect on your body and your health. Look at the wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wakes up in the night, and first thing he makes miswak, and all those germs immediately come out. The barakat of practicing on the sunnah. Making wuzu. We make wuzu. There's benefit in it. So much of reward. Allah adullukum ala ma yamhullahu biya al-khataya wa yafa'u biya al-darajat. What is that that elevates the statement of a person and forgives a person's sins? Making wuzu is da'u wuzu wa al-makari. That perfecting your wuzu. Perfecting your wuzu in spite of it being difficult. But look at the wisdom of it. One of the things with wuzu is that we make masa of the maid. Actually, it is mustahab to do so. You don't do it, no guna, you do it very good. In Nur Riza, it is mentioned under the category of istihbab. There was a jamaat that went to France. Tabligh jamaat. Whatever they do open in public, and the action itself also invites for deen and Islam. Wherever we get more kind of opportunity, we must also join the Tabligh jamaat. We must do everything. Perfect ourselves in ta'lim and ta'lum. Perfect ourselves in tazkiya. Perfect ourselves in tabligh as well. Join that as well. Don't be just a one-sided person that just be only in ulum and think that everything else is wrong. No, we must be all around everything. That for you to insist only on one line is going against the mission of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu came with all three, so we must do all three. So this jamaat, when they were making wuzu, performing salat, that there was a white man, a French person, observing very closely what is happening. So he called one of them and asked him, what are you doing? So a person explained, look, we are about to pray, we are about to perform our salah, and then we make wuzu with ablution, and before we perform our salah. So he also amazed when I asked him, why did you wipe your neck? Why do you wipe your neck? He said, wipe the vivat, because that part of our ablution we wipe our neck. So he said that actually, I am a professor of law in a mental hospital. I'm doing some research in a mental hospital, and recently in France there are so many people who have mental deficiencies, mental problems, and I'm conducting a research the reason for these mental problems and difficulties. What is the thing that causes all this? And my research has led me to the path that the veins that is run from the behind the head to the shoulder, when that starts drying up, then that leads to mental deficiency and retardation. Now, you notice sometimes, you know, when you're nice and stressed up also, you put your shoulders like this, up and down, and then you tell somebody, you give you a massage in the neck, and, you know, try to release the muscles and everything there. It happens when you are stressed up. So he thinks that, I have led to this, this is what my research has led me to, that the veins in the back dry up. But I am amazed that you people are making massage, or you people are wiping your neck, and every time we also concluded that when you wipe your neck every time and put water there, it actually causes the blood to flow in the veins and refreshing the person's memory. Subhanallah. Making wuzu and look at the barakah of it. When a person eats, now obviously you're going to eat with two fingers. If they need three fingers, they need four fingers. Rice or whatever it is, faluda and all that. You can't do two fingers, you need four. And a Taliban, you need five fingers. And a bigger Taliban, two hands. So, obviously, you're going to eat with two fingers. But now, what's the wisdom behind it? Nabi Sahib mentioned, eat with the fingers. Don't eat with a fork, don't eat with a knife, eat with the fingers. And after you eat, then you must lick your fingers. What's the wisdom behind it? Again, medical research has proven that when you lick your fingers, that inside the fingers, there is a thing, plasma, that comes out from there. When you lick it, then that helps for the digestion. Again, look at it. Make it amal and a simple sunnah. Today, one of the biggest problems is indigestion. You get the eno and you get the tablets and everything there. The simple practice of sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you lick the fingers and then the plasma comes out, it helps for digestion. When a person sleeps, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised, sleep on your right hand side. Sleep on your right hand side. And nowadays people say, no, you must sleep on the left hand side. Because your heart is on the left and then you give more rest to your left. But now recently, it was discovered that people have nightmares. And they also, to a large extent, they have heart problem, because people sleep on the left hand side and they put in a pressure on their heart and on the intestines also to somehow get jammed up with the heart. And that leads up to nightmares. It has also a mental problem and give a person a mental difficulty. So these are some of the wisdoms on practicing on the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Rasul of Allah is among you. At the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was physically present. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone, but the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also among us. Just as Sahaba have to appreciate the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we too have to appreciate that the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and practice it and inculcate in our lives. وَمِنْ يُتَعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَ فَقَدْ فَعَلَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Anybody that obeys Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for him is the greatest success. Our success lies in making itaat of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You go against that, la anittum. Gonna put difficulty and hardship in our lives. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah bihamdi. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.